if we assign to you a group of the jinn to listen to the Quran, when they were in the gathering, they said to each other, be quiet and listen attentively. After the recitation was done, they went to their people to give them the warning. So from that we understand that the jinn, some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them believers, some of them disbelievers, and they heard the Quran and they went to their people to give them the warning. You have to understand from that that we, the people that have to listen to the Quran with the heedful ears, that we understand what has been recited for us and to communicate these passages to our group and to our people. Having said that, we finish this chapter and we read the issues that are connected in this chapter. The first issue is explanation of the verse from Surah Al-Jinn, Tafsir Ayat Al-Jinn. The second issue is seeking refuge in other than Allah is part of shirk. And we have explained that seeking refuge in other than Allah Azza wa Jal could be shirk and could be otherwise according to the criterion that we have mentioned. الاستدلال على ذلك بالحديث لأن العلماء يستدلون به على أن كلمات الله غير مخلوقة قال لأن الاستعاذة بالمخلوق شرك. Within the hadith as a proof, for the scholar uses to prove that the words of Allah are not created. They say this because seeking refuge in creatures or in the creation is shirk. Also we have another dua that we seek refuge in the words of Allah, or in the attributes of Allah, where you say, أعوذ بعزة الله وقدرته من شر ما أجد وأحاذر. You say, I seek refuge in the might and the power of Allah from the difficulties of that I am experiencing, the difficulties of things that you are experiencing. So seeking refuge in the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking refuge in Allah. فضيلة هذا الدعاء مع اتصاله. The virtue of this, this dua, despite it is being short. And this dua is very short, yet there is a lot of benefit connected to it. The first issue, أن كون الشيء يحصل به منفعة دنيوية من كسب شر أو جلب نفع لا يدل على أنه ليس من الشر. This means, if something that brings upon you some goodness in this life, it prevents evil from befalling you in this life, that does not mean it's not shirk. An example that will shed light on this issue. A person goes to a king and prostrates before this king. We know prostration can only be done to Allah. But this person prostrates before the king. Consequently, this king gives this person some money and some wealth. So this man who does the prostration, he committed an act of shirk. Some goodness in this life came to him, and that is the money he is going to get from this king. Having this benefit does not negate that his action is shirk. Similar to that, people who go to graves and they ask people and they ask by the shrines and by those people who are buried in the grave, either they ask them directly to give them or they ask Allah by them to give them, and sometimes they might be given what they are asking for by the qadr of Allah. That of itself does not mean that their practices is not shirk. It is still shirk even though they got some benefits out of their practice. Now we said that we move to the next chapter, chapter 14, where it says to باب من الشرك أن يستغيث بغير الله أو يدعو غيره. To seek help or to seek aid in other than Allah or to call other than Allah is an act of shirk. We say in this title similar to what we said in the previous chapter. And that is seeking the aid of the creation. It is shirk if you are seeking the aid to deliver yourself from difficulties that only Allah can deliver you from. Istighatha means seeking the aid to deliver yourself from difficulties. So if you seek the aid of the creation to deliver yourself from difficulties that only Allah can deliver you from, then seeking this aid will become an act of shirk. The other part of this chapter, or يَدْعُوَ غَيْرَهُ, to call upon other than Allah. Calling upon any thing is two things. Calling upon which is an act of ibadah, and calling upon which is not an act of ibadah. The calling which is not an act of ibadah, just like when you call upon somebody, please so-and-so, give me a cup of water. Go to the market and buy me some tomatoes. Or you call somebody to come to your house to have dinner. This is not an act of ibadah. So this is permissible, has no shirk in it at all. The call which is ibadah can only be directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this call which is ibadah has to be, and this call which is an ibadah has to meet certain criteria for this ibadah to be correct. The first criterion is khawf wa raghba wa mahabba wa tadarru. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for let's explain those things, al-khawf, you have to include in your ibadah fear. In your call upon Allah, you are in fear from Allah azza wa jal. Also you have to put in your call longing. You are longing to get what you are asking for. It's not something you are calling without any real desire to get what you are calling for. But we have to put in our heart the desire and the longing that we are calling, and we have the longing in our heart to get what we are calling Allah for. So we have to have mahabba, love. You are calling Allah with love. Love is an act of worship. We love Allah for two reasons. We love Allah because of His bounty. The bounties that He bestowed upon us, and those bounties are two types. Bounties of enjoyment, ni'am al-malajbat, and the bounties of obedience, ni'am al-ta'at. It's a great bounty from Allah Azza wa Jal to lead us to the masjid to pray. A great bounty from Allah Azza wa Jal to make us fast. A great bounty from Allah Azza wa Jal to make us read Quran. A great bounty from Allah Azza wa Jal to put us on the path of the truth. The Quran and the Sunnah as understood by our righteous predecessors. Those are bounties from Allah. It's not us doing Allah a favor by doing the bounty that we feel proud in ourselves. But it is Allah that is doing the bounty upon us, that He bestowed His bounties upon us, that He led us to do those things. Therefore, when we do those acts of worship, those good deeds, we should fulfill the bounties of Allah. Thus we develop our humility to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Those are the bounties of ta'at. We love Him because He gave us those bounties. Also there's the bounties of al-malazzat. The enjoyment that Allah avails for us nowadays. To enjoy your wife, your kids, You enjoy the food that you eat, the houses in which you live to protect you from cold and heat. You enjoy many aspects of the bounties of Al-Malazzat. But having said that, the bounty of Al-Fa'at is more important than the bounty of Al-Malazzat. Even though many people consider it otherwise, you find a person, if he loses some money, he gets so upset and he will lose his good mood for days. But if he misses a prayer, to establish the prayer on time, he does not get any sorrow in his heart, as if nothing happened. Even though losing to do the prayer on time is more severe in nature than losing some money. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to understand this issue and to bestow upon us both the bounties of Al-Fa'at and the bounties of Al-Malazzat. The second aspect for our love for Allah Azza wa Jal is we love Him because He deserves our love. The reason why He deserves our love, because He is perfect. Allah Azza wa Jal is perfect. له الحمد وله المجد وله الثناء يفرق الأمر لا تتحرك ورقة إلا بإذنه ولا يحدث في هذا الكون شيء إلا بعلمه. فلذلك هو يستحق المحبة ويستحق أن يخضع له ويستحق أن يعبد ويفرد بالعبادة. الله سبحانه وتعالى deserves our love because He is perfect. Nothing moves in His dominion except with His permission and His knowledge and His wisdom and justice. Having said that, it's a great difference between those who love Allah only for His bounty and those who love Allah because He deserves our love. Those who love Allah only for His bounty, many times when the bounties are reduced, you will find those people turning away. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. Some people worship Allah on the edge. They worship, they live on the edge and they worship Allah on the edge. But something happens to them that disturbs their system, they will turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Therefore we have to inculcate in our heart both to love Allah for His bounty and to love Allah because He deserves our love. The first element that we have to build in our dua is tabarru. Tabarru means obfuscation. We have to ask Allah earnestly to get what we are asking for. Some people do not ask Allah earnestly. They ask Allah carelessly. And their attitude is, if Allah gives it to us, fine, if not, we do not care. There is no tabarru, there is no obfuscation in their dua. If the dua is stripped from obfuscation, this is an act of transgression upon our part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَدْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Ask your Lord with obfuscation and in secrecy. And do not transgress. Verily Allah does not like the transgressors. The implication of this, do not transgress, is if we ask Allah without having those two criteria in our dua, we will be making an act of transgression. Also Allah said, وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Ask Him in fear and in hope. or to give you in fear and in hope. That is, in fear from Allah and in hope to get what we are asking for. This is the explanation of al-du'a, which is an ibadah. So we go back to the chapter. To seek refuge, to seek the help of a creation to relieve difficulties, if this relief within the human ability, then this seeking help is not actual. Somebody chasing you with a stick. You see a brother Muslim say, "I am seeking your help to defend me from this person." This is not shirk. Because this is within the ability of your Muslim brother to do that. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if death is before you, you go to a person and you say, "I seek your help to deliver me from this death. Save me, I do not want to die." Thinking this person can prevent death from befalling you, that will become major shirk. Similarly, if a person goes to the grave and says, "Well, my wife having difficulties in delivery, I'm trying to seek your help to make her delivery easy." This person is dead, he cannot deliver himself from anything. How can you help yourself help your wife deliver her baby? Some people, when they have lack of tawheed, lack of knowledge of the tawheed, and this is tawheed to know Allah Azza wa Jal, to establish oneness to Allah Azza wa Jal, they fall into the darknesses of committing shirk in many different ways and styles. Having said that, we go into the chapter. The first ayah in the chapter is saying, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ وَإِنْ يَمْسَكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Do not call besides Allah that which does not benefit you nor can harm you. If you do, you will be from the transgressor. If Allah catches you with evil, nobody can deliver you from it except Allah. And if Allah wants to bring good to you, no one can prevent his bounty from befalling you. Allah brings his bounty to whomever he wants from his slave, and Allah is the forgiver, Allah is the merciful. Realize how Allah said, do not call upon besides Allah that which cannot benefit you nor can harm you. Therefore, to call upon those things that cannot benefit us and harm us is major shirk. Therefore, if you do, you are from the transgression. And we have learned that shirk is the great transgression. Allah says after that, if Allah touches you with evil, nothing can lift it from you. But if Allah wants to bring good to you, nobody can prevent it. And the difference between the two expressions, if Allah touches you with evil, and Allah does not say if Allah wants to bring evil to you, because Allah does not intend to us any evil. But evil can touch us. Evil can befall us. But Allah does not want evil to you, but Allah does not intend evil for us. Allah intends good for us even when something that befalls us which we do not like. Therefore Allah says, and if Allah wants to bring good to you, no one will prevent it. And here the ayah says, yuridka. Allah wants to, intends to bring good to you. So we do not say Allah intends evil. Always Allah intends good. And also this is what we have, we, inshallah, we're going to expand on it next time we meet. Then the next ayah in this chapter it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَكُمْ رِزْقًا فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ وَاعْبُدُوهُ وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Those who you worship with Allah, they do not have for you any sustenance. Thus, seek sustenance from Allah. Worship Him and be grateful to Him, you shall return to Him. I mean, the purpose of this ayah to be included in this chapter, that people make dua to bring sustenance to them. But those who you are making dua to bring upon yourself sustenance and goodness, they have no sustenance for you. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who has the sustenance. Therefore, Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ. Who is the one to provide for you if Allah keeps His provision? And realize also how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَبُدُوا وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ. عَطَفَ الْخَاصُ عَلَى الْعَامِ. وَعَبُدُوا is general, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal is general. وَاشْكُرُوا is specific, because the shukr, being grateful to Allah, is part of worshipping Allah. But here both of them, the general and the specific, were mentioned together to show the importance of the specific, and that is to be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore we say, being grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal is one of the prerequisites of our worship to Allah. As Allah said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. All who believe, eat from the good provided of Allah and be grateful to Him if you are worshipping Him. Be grateful to Him if you are worshipping Him. We pause here about to explain the gratefulness again. The gratefulness to Allah is not only by saying thank you Allah, alhamdulillah, ashukru laka lillah. Ashukr is done in your heart, it's done with your tongue, and it's done with your limbs, most importantly. It's done in your heart is for your heart to acknowledge that the bounty that you are experiencing is from Allah. Allah is the one who provided and bestowed those bounties to you. Do not attribute those bounties to your own self. Do not say, I have this because I am a hard worker. I have this because I am smart. Or I have this because so and so gave me. All of those are means. Allah is the real provider. That does not mean we do not affect the means, we do not bring the means into reality. We try to implement those means, but we have to think and always remember that Allah is the real provider. Those things which are mean, if they are people, mean, if the people are mean to bring some sustenance to us, we are grateful to them, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yashkur an-nas, lam yashkur Allah." Whoever is not grateful to the people is not grateful to Allah. But nevertheless, we remember always that those people are only mean, but Allah Azza wa Jal is the real provider. So we have that in our heart. Secondly, we have to praise Allah and be grateful to Allah on our tongue. And thirdly, we have to be grateful to Allah in our limbs. And that is to use His bounty in His obedience. How many people despise the statement of their tongue with the statement of their action? They get the bounties of Allah, but they use their bounty in doing things which are haram. They use their money to go to the movie. They use their money to buy cigarettes. They use their money to involve themselves in haram type of trade. They use their money to travel to haram places. They use their sight to look at things which are haram. They use their sight to look at things. They use their ears to listen to music. They use their hands to touch things that are haram for them. All of that is a manifestation of using the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal in ways which are haram, and that defies our gratitude to Allah. Therefore, having understanding this point, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead us to use His bounty in ways that manifest our greatest gratitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The fourth ayah says, ومن أضل ممن يدعو من دون الله من لا يستجيب له إلى يوم القيامة وهم عن دعائهم غافلون وإذا حشر الناس كانوا لهم أعداء وكانوا بعبادتهم كافرين. Whoever is more misguided than the one who calls other than Allah those things which do not answer to him until the day of judgment. On top of that, those things that are being called, they are heedless to the call of the caller. But on the day of judgment, when the people will be resurrected and grouped, the called upon will be enemy to the callers and to the worship of the callers, and they will deny. This ayah also goes to show that those people who call other than Allah Azza wa Jal, they are very much and to great length they are astray. On top of that, whatever they are calling, those objects, those statues, they do not respond to them, nor they are aware of the call of the caller. And on the day of judgment, the called upon will be enemy to the caller. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ, and they denied their worship. So the evidence from this expression here in the Quran that Allah calling upon something is ibadah. And there's a hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Your Lord say, call upon me, I will answer you. Those who are too arrogant to worship me, they will enter hellfire and humiliation. Again, in this ayah, dua was referred to as ibadah. The third, the ayah also we have here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Who is the one that will answer to the stress if the stressed person call upon him? And the one who will deliver you from evil and make you the inheritor of the earth. Is there any God with Allah? Little that you remember. Again, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that Allah is the one who answers our calls in times of distress. Therefore, we have to call upon Him only to deliver us from the calamity. If we call upon other than Him, it will be an act of major shirk. We go to the hadith that is mentioned in this chapter where the Prophet says, رواه الطبراني بإسناده أنه كان في زمن النبي في منافق يؤذي المؤمنين فقال بعضهم قوموا بنا نستغيث برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من هذا المنافق فقال النبي إنه لا يستغاث بي وإنما يستغاث بالله. الطبراني reported in his chain of narration that in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم there used to be a hypocrite that used to go do evil things to the believers. So the believers said to each other, let us do and seek the aid of the Prophet, make istighatha in the Prophet from this hypocrite. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you cannot seek my aid, seek the aid of Allah. You can only seek the aid from Allah. This hadith shows us that we can seek the aid only from Allah Azza wa Jal in things that only Allah can bring about. Because this hypocrite, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot do anything for him. We cannot kill him because he is showing Islam. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many hypocrites in his time, he did not kill. Secondly, the Prophet cannot turn the heart of this hypocrite. Therefore, because Allah is the one who controls the heart. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّهُ لَا يَسْتَغَافُ بِي. You cannot seek my help. Allahu A'lam, the implication of that is in this case. But therefore he said, وَإِنَّمَا يَسْتَغَافُ بِاللَّهِ. All you can seek the help in Allah. Also the implication of that in saying that only Allah can deliver the Prophet. We say that because it was reported in the Quran that the man who was from the tribe of Musa, he was seeking his help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ. A person who was from Musa's nation was seeking the aid.